The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds.
One thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, everybody in between, is that we all hated the bank bailout.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
The time to choose sides is now.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, August 7th, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, defense officials say Vladimir Putin is testing U.S. command and control systems as Russian strategic nuclear bombers have flown into northwestern U.S. air defense zones. Meanwhile, the trade war also intensifies as Russia bans the import of U.S. food. Then, explosive Jackie O tapes reveal how she believed LBJ killed JFK. And Lyndon sounds like he's flirting just days after the assassination.
You just come over and put your arm around me. That's all you do. When you haven't got anything else to do, let's take a walk.
Really, Mr. President? Really? All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, war is the lifeblood of the state, and of course, the Obama administration is grasping for air, so they're grasping for excuses. They're starting up Cold Wars, they're starting up the trade war, they're starting up proxy wars everywhere. Let's go to the Cold War first. We had an article today on InfoWars.com from Steve Watson. Cold War II. Russian nuclear bombers are conducting 16 incursions of U.S. and air defense zones over just the last few days. He says Russian strategic nuclear bombers have flown into the northwestern U.S. air defense identification zones at least 16 times over the past 10 days, according to Pentagon officials. The incursions are by Tu-95 Russian Bear H bombers, and they say that this is unprecedented. Well, of course, if you poke the bear, the Russian bear, he is going to poke back. The Russians are not going to be intimidated, and we see this with the trade war now that's intensifying. As we point out, another article from Kurt Nimmo on InfoWars today, trade war intensifies as Russia bans the import of U.S. food. Now, of course, this is hurting both Russians as well as Americans. It says trade between the U.S. and Russia has more than tripled over the last decade. Meat from the U.S. represented 19% of the trade between the two nations, and Russia is one of the largest export markets for American chicken. 39% of total U.S. chicken exports went to Russia in 2008. Now, of course, it's also the EU that's being hurt by this because $43 billion worth of food last year was sold by the EU to Russian markets. And, of course, Russia considers economic sanctions to be warfare, and they have vowed to respond in kind. And, of course, they are going to respond in kind. Now, later in the program, we have an interview with a former SEAL and currently a fiction author. Of course, the books that he writes are not all that fictional. They have a lot of parallels to the real world, to real politics, to real scenarios that we have to be concerned about. Now, coming up, we have an interview with Matthew Bracken, and during the interview, he said something interesting. He said, today, it's kind of like we're sitting in a room full of dynamite, and there's like a dozen different fuses running out of it. We don't know which one of them could possibly cause a massive societal change. Now, one of the things, of course, possibility is the Ebola situation. We have an article up today on InfoWars.com, what you need to do to survive Ebola before the panic sets in. And this is from Max Slavo. And it's an interesting article to read. I'm not going to go over all the different things he says, but take a look at this picture from the article. And, of course, when we talk about there's multiple things that could happen to cause societal panic. He points out with these empty shelves, this picture, he says, look at this picture. It was taken last week in Toledo about an hour after the city announced that their water supply had been contaminated with toxins. Now, if you look at this article further down, there's a long list that he compiles together from the organic prepper of all the different things that you need to prepare for an emergency. And that's not just if it's a pandemic. That's any kind of emergency, a military emergency, some kind of martial law that's imposed for whatever reason. You need to be prepared. Finally, as he points out, if you don't have your food prepared, your water prepared before the crisis starts, you're going to go without it. Now, we always hear the term conspiracy theorist, and it's interesting to note that this is a term that was created by the CIA in the wake of the JFK assassination, deliberate as an attempt to shut down any questioning of the official story. Well, it turns out that one of the original conspiracy theorists was Jackie Onassis, or Jacqueline Kennedy at the time. Today, we learned that some explosive tapes are being released now that were going to be held for 50 years after her death, and now here we are about 20 years after they're starting to release these tapes. The wife of President Kennedy did not believe that there was a lone gunman with a magic bullet. No, she thought that LBJ was behind this. Now, the tapes that are being released were tapes that were recorded with historian Arthur Schlesinger just months after the assassination. But listen to this phone conversation between Jackie Kennedy and LBJ just days after the assassination.
Mr. President?
I just wanted you to know you were loved and by so many and so much.
Oh, Mr.
I'm
President.
One of them. Listen, sweetie, now, first thing you got to learn, you got some things to learn, and one of them is that you don't bother me. You give me strength.
But I wasn't going to send you in one more letter, and I was
don't
just scared
anything.
You'd answer.
Don't send me anything. You just come over and put your arm around me. That's all you do. When you haven't got anything else to do, let's take a walk. Let's walk around the backyard and
I know how rare a letter is in a president's handwriting. Do you know that I've got more in your handwriting than I do in Jack now?
So there are not many women, you know, run around with a good many presidents. So you just bear that in mind. And you got the biggest job of your life.
He ran around with two presidents. That's what they'll say about me. Okay, anytime.
Goodbye, Barbara.
Thank you for calling, Mr. President.
Bye,
goodbye.
Sweetie. Do come back.
I will.
Now, if you listen to that entire clip, and you may have heard it just from the excerpt that we played, Jackie Kennedy is very scared. And yet LBJ is like coming on to her, and she plays along with that a little bit as a way to try to protect herself and her family. She tried to keep these tapes, these historical tapes that are now being released. She wanted those held for 50 years after her death. She was concerned that people in her family, perhaps her son, John Jr., might be killed by people who were enemies of the Kennedys. Now, as creepy as that is, we have a story coming up in the next section right after the break about a Homeland Security behavior officer who was trying to come on to a woman and her daughter at the same time. This is the kind of corruption from the top down that we have to be concerned about. It's what Colonel Pete Martino, retired Marine colonel, told us about just a few days ago that we played on the Alex Jones radio show. The fact that corruption is really the main problem. When you don't control that corruption, it becomes pervasive. Many times people don't believe in things like the Kennedy assassination or that someone engineered aspects or covered up aspects of 9/11 because they just can't believe that the good guys could do this. And they think that it's going to eventually come out. Well, yes, it does eventually come out. All secrets eventually come out. We now know, because Operation Northwoods has been declassified, we now know that they were plotting at the time to fly passenger airplanes into buildings. Back in the 1960s, when JFK found out about that, he fired the people in charge. The main guy in charge then went to Limitzer, went to NATO. He was involved with the false flag operations there and Gladio. So these types of things do come out. The question is, will people believe it when you connect the dots for them? And it's just been 50 years ago, just Monday, that we had the Gulf of Tonkin. Think about the fact that it was only about 8 months ago that we had the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination. They didn't wait very long to go from the getting the guy who was in their way out of the way before they could escalate the Vietnam War, did they? Now, that's what we're seeing now. We need to see what's going on with the CIA most recently. Why do we have to wait 50 years to find out about these crimes? We have an article that's breaking today from Gawker. This is from a girl who was 12 years old at the time. She was rendered, along with her family, from Hong Kong to Libya in a joint CIA MI6 operation in 2004. That's American and British intelligence took her out. And I want to read you this excerpt because it's very moving. She said two different flights landed at the military airport in Libya just over a decade ago. The first was organized by the CIA and MI6. And on board that was a family of six surrounded by guards. The frightened children separated from their parents, the father chained to a seat in a rear compartment with a needle stuck in his arm. The second flight, only a couple of days later, carried Tony Blair in comfort on his way to shake hands and to do business with Colonel Gaddafi. I know about the first flight because I was one of the children. I know about the chains. I know about the needle because Sami al-Saadi, a longtime political opponent of Gaddafi, is my father. And I saw him in that state. I was 12 years old at the time, trying to keep younger brothers and my 6-year-old sister calm. She said they called her to the plane. the front of the plane to say goodbye to her father, to see him in that state. She says, I remember the guards laughing before she fainted from the sight. And she says, the question is, are the American people going to be allowed to know about what happened to her, this 12-year-old, and her family? Or is the CIA going to be able to keep that secret? The information right now is sitting on the desks of the Senate Intelligence Committee. The question is, are they going to be allowed to redact that, to keep it from the American public for even longer period of time? Think about what's going on with this. Henry Kissinger said that we don't have any permanent allies, only permanent interests. It appears that the government's interest is really to create chaos. They want us in a permanent state of chaos. Remember what happened in Libya. This was 2004 that this had happened. But go back to the Reagan administration. Remember that Gaddafi was the most dangerous terrorist in the world at that time. He was Reagan's Osama bin Laden, a very useful foil. We were told, maybe it was true, that he took down the airliner at Lockerbie, Scotland. We then bombed him. He then gave up his weapons. And then he became a client of the American police state. The CIA became his buddy. At this time now, in 2004, under the Bush administration, now Gaddafi is our friend. And they are taking people who had opposed him, people who were previously our allies, are now our enemies, just like in 1984. So they take this guy out with rendition. They stick needles in his arms, fly him out the dead of night back to his enemy, Gaddafi, and they take away his family. This is our American foreign policy. This is why everyone in the world hates us. And this is why we should be concerned about our rotting government. Think about that. Now, this is Libya. That was 2004. And then in another 7 years or so, Obama goes back to Libya, starts a war without Congress's authorization, an impeachable offense, by the way, for which Congress will not impeach him, will not get rid of the corruption. And then, of course, we have Benghazi, where they're passing weapons to the people in Syria, the rebels in Syria, who later became ISIS, that are now fomenting other chaos throughout the Middle East. This is our foreign policy. We need to see this information. The American people need to wake up about this. Stay with us. We're going to be right back this week. The Black Hat Conference is starting in Las Vegas. We have news about that and news about the incredible lengths that the American government will go to spy on you. They can get very inventive. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does.
Ugh. These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered with the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Secure your fluoride shield at InfoWarsLife.com today.
Well, in simpler times, it was much easier to have privacy.
Do you want me to leave the room?
That won't be necessary, Hodgkins. We can talk under the cone of silence.
The cone of silence?
I am deeply concerned about the conference room.
What?
I'm concerned about the conference room.
How's that?
Well, of course, that was Don Adams and the TV show Get Smart. Now, today, even if that cone of silence had worked back then, it would not work today, because they can work out what you're saying even without a microphone. Take a look at this article that Paul Joseph Watson put up on InfoWars.com today. MIT develops technology to record conversations using inanimate objects. Yes, using only a video of the object and suitable processing algorithm, we can extract these minute vibrations and partially recover sounds that produce them, letting us turn everyday objects into visual microphones. In other words, soundproof rooms, he says, are no longer a defense against eavesdroppers. The video demonstrates that they can record video recording of vibrations of a leaf on a pot plant, and the words from the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb, could be discerned once the vibrations were translated into sound. They said in another experiment, they could get human speech from looking at a video of a bag of potato chips lying on the ground. Of course, that's in there as crisps, because Paul Joseph Watson is British. That's what they call potato chips over there. But why would they use this? Well, they've got microphones everywhere. We've already told you that they put microphones in the streetlights to listen to you. They're listening to your conversations on your phone, on your computer. They can watch you through the cameras, on your laptops, as we pointed out, for a very long time. Perhaps, as I was thinking about this, perhaps this is a way for them to use satellites to listen to people. They have incredibly good visuals on satellites. And, of course, if they can get a good visual on you, they can listen to what you're saying. That's the paranoia of the police state. Well, today is the beginning of the Black Hat Conference in Las Vegas. This is where people get together to try to exploit cybersecurity. And, of course, the surveillance state, the police state, has a very heavy presence there. The keynote address today was given by the chief security officer of NQTEL. Does that sound familiar? That is the venture capitalist firm of the CIA, and everybody knows about it. It's common knowledge. But here's what he had to say that's interesting. He called for mandatory reporting of vulnerabilities of all types of cyber attacks, not just those with internet-wide implications like Heartbleed. And he wants it for all organizations, small and large. He said the mandatory reporting should follow the U.S. Center for Disease Control, the CDC, model where disease outbreaks above a certain threshold have to be reported to the public. The CDC, he says, doesn't care about the individual patient or health information, but the second the patient poses a risk to society at large, the hospital is legally required to report the illness. Now, that's an interesting comparison for him to make, isn't it? Since we know that the CDC is not really protecting us, but is actually bringing in the Ebola virus, breaking their own protocols on something that we've also seen is patented by the U.S. government here. But he goes on. He has some other things to say about this. He also suggested that the U.S. government should corner the zero-day vulnerability market by buying up all the vulnerabilities from researchers and then making them public. Now, that's an interesting idea. That sounds like they have our best interests at heart, doesn't it? Except that Aaron Schwartz, who vigorously campaigned against CISPA, the guy who started Reddit and the guy who died subsequently, he told us before he died, he told us that the government is funding virtually all of the exploits. They're funding the people to break into everything. So why would this guy, is he naive? Does he not understand what Aaron Schwartz understands? And he says this last thing here. Once vulnerability finding became a job and not just a hobby, in other words, it wasn't just these hobbyist hackers out there doing it. He said those who were finding the vulnerabilities stopped sharing them. I mean, is this guy naive, or does he think that we're naive? This is way beyond the fact that we've just got some hobbyist hackers out there. And, of course, the ones that are out there, like the ones at the Black Hat Conference itself, it's the CIA venture capital funds and the CIA itself that always goes to these conferences trying to get these guys, if they are, in fact, working as a hobby, trying to hire them so that they can then create these exploits for the NSA. Are they really going to tell us when they buy these things up, or is he just putting that out there as cover for the fact that the CIA is going to get more aggressive about funding cybersecurity intrusions? Now, today we had some information breaking on the Daily Mail that a Homeland Security inspector has been arrested after he went onto a Craigslist and tried to solicit people. He tried to solicit a mother and her daughter to have sex with him. He was busted, of course, not by Homeland Security, but by the FBI. He allegedly tried to have sex with a mother and her underage daughter, says the FBI. Now, the interesting thing about this is that he worked as a behavior detection officer for Homeland Security. That's right. What kind of behavior does he have? And this is the one that sent laughter throughout the studio when we saw this quote here. The TSA made a statement about this today. They said the agency is currently in the process of terminating his employment, but then they said this, which is really, TSA holds its employees to the highest ethical standards and expects all TSA employees to conduct themselves with integrity and professionalism. These alleged crimes are egregious and intolerable, just as the actual crimes that Homeland Security has the TSA do at the airports to women, to children, are intolerable and egregious, as well as a violation of our constitutional rights. So when we look at this, where are we today? There was an interesting story that was up on the Drudge Report yesterday. And before we do that, I want you to take a look at this famous clip that started out in the Treasure Sierra Madre. Badges, we don't need no stinking badges. Take a look at this classic clip.
If you're the police, where are your badges?
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Well, just as Pete Martino told us on the report we aired on the Alex Jones radio show a couple of days ago, if you don't stop the corruption, and of course you're always going to have corruption in any organization, if you don't purge it, it becomes systemic. Well, stay with us. Right after the break, we have an interview with a former SEAL, now a best-selling author, Matt Bracken. And his books have foreseen some of the situations that look very much like the near future for us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com. This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here. An electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the survival silver solution. The new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water for your preparedness storage or your home kitchen. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. Now, our next guest is actually a fiction writer, although he's had a lot of real-life experiences. Now, it's important to use fiction to help wake up people. A lot of people are not going to connect the dots by looking at the news, by looking at our report. Sometimes it's best done through a visceral type of experience, through a story. Think of Captain America, Winter Soldier, how that explained Operation Paperclip. Well, our next guest is a former Navy SEAL. He started out as a Russian language major, became a naval officer, and then a Navy SEAL. He was part of the detachment to Beirut, Lebanon in 1983. He was also a special warfare officer. Now, he has skills as a boat builder, welder, charter boat skipper. This is a guy who is going to survive the next crisis, but he sees it coming, and he has some very compelling, very realistic, very entertaining books, a trilogy of books. And I'm going to let him tell you about those books, our guest, Matt Bracken. Welcome to the program, Matt. I want to go over your different books here. You're going back to 2003. You've got a trilogy, essentially, Enemies, Foreign and Domestic. You've got Foreign Enemies and Traitors, book number 3 that came out in 2009. They came out about every 3 years. Where did you get the crazy ideas for these false flags and patsies and government agencies out of control?
Well, I was always interested in political intrigue. I went into the Navy. I thought I'd wind up in intelligence. I was a Russian studies major in college. And actually, I wound up being a Navy frogman, an officer in the SEAL teams. And right about the time that I was in was when SEAL Team 6 was being created out the backyard of, across the lot of SEAL Team 2. So I was around at the genesis of one of these, you know, super duper secret teams. And it didn't surprise me when the whole thing went corrupt. I sort of was tipped off then, as if I didn't know already, that when you have groups, you know, elite groups of very gung-ho guys, mainly guys, they're chomping at the bit to do all kind of, you know, cutting edge tactical work. And they're the most proud when they're brought into a secret conspiracy, you know, requiring only the utmost, most loyal officers and men, you know, the ones that can really keep their mouths shut. And I just started studying this phenomenon more and more, and it seemed to almost be an ironclad rule that the more secret an organization, the more it will be abused.
Yes, and you know, when you talk about that, I think that's a real important motivating factor. I think we really ought to focus on that, because I'm seeing that government now at every level is falling under that kind of, you know, do this for us. This is very important. When we go down and talk to the most mundane government agencies and try to get information from their public information officers, they're acting as if they're the CIA, because they're all on some kind of a special, super secret, important mission. That's a motivating factor that they're doing to everybody in government now, isn't it?
They've clearly, since I wrote the book in 2003, they've clearly blurred the line from a foreign war or a domestic war. I think that right now the White House and the Department of Homeland Security, well, they, by their own words, they're much more concerned about, you know, right-wing, mainly white extremists than they are about Al-Qaeda or ISIS or Hamas or Hezbollah. But the main thing is to understand is that whereas we were formerly warned by Eisenhower and others to beware the military-industrial complex, now what we have is a military intelligence and law enforcement complex, which is big bucks, private prisons, SWAT teams with, you know, multi-million-dollar budgets that need to be used to justify their budget. I mean, we're sending snipers to get the cat out of the tree these days.
Absolutely. Now, I haven't read your books, but it got my attention when I saw a book review from John Ross. His book, a lot of people might know, Unintended Consequences, is one I did read about 20 years or so ago. As a matter of fact, I just sold the hard copy cover for a couple hundred dollars used, because it's now rare. You can get it in a paperback. But the kind of reviews that I'm seeing hundreds of reviews, people saying that it's really well-written page-turner, that it's very realistic, that the villains are interesting. They're not just cardboard cutout characters. But the most interesting thing, I think, and what our readers would be interested in, is the fact that going back to 2003, you've got a scenario here that involves false flags, patsies, sure, engineered crises, other opportunities to expand government. And it starts out with a false flag attack around an NFL stadium. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we see them prepping for right now. We even see that in the recent Batman movie.
Yeah, that's the first book. It starts on the first page with a false flag sniper attack into a stadium, where three magazines, 90 rounds, precipitates a panic stampede with people being pushed off the upper decks and, you know, stampeded in the tunnels, leading to, right, you know, as a plot device, basically to speed up years and years of slow politics, leading to a ban on all semi-automatic rifles. The clique of people that actually pull the operation, they understand that nobody's going to turn their rifles in, but it will give them justification to go house to house, which will require a budget like the 82nd Airborne and armament, you know. So it's a way of building an empire in this military intelligence law enforcement complex we now have in this country.
Now, one of the things that John Ross said, he says it's a challenge for any writer to come up with a plot that is at once plausible enough to have the reader accept it, but also unlikely enough that it hasn't actually happened yet in real life, but we've seen it come very close to that. And as we've reported on many of these highly publicized crises and shootings, that we believe that it's come very close to that happening. Now, in this first book, you're talking about enemies, foreign and domestic. In the second one, you're talking about a border collapse and Atzlin. Talk about that scenario for us.
Yeah, I was living out in San Diego. That's this book, Domestic Enemies. I was living out in San Diego during the early 2000s when I began to cast about a theme for this book. And I was really intrigued to discover that not only are there groups that we've heard of like La Raza and LULAC, there are groups like Mecha, which is the student movement for Aslan, and the Brown Berets of Aslan. These are extremely radical, generally Marxist, you know, international socialist groups, but they truly believe that they're going to take the Southwest, not necessarily to give it back to the government of Mexico City, but certainly to remove it from American control. And they're very serious. Now, they've been in colleges teaching this for decades now. Today, we're seeing the results of it. The previous mayor of Los Angeles, he was a college radical for Aztlan and other socialist causes. What was his name? Villarigosa. But judges and attorney generals especially across the Southwest, they're infused in this mentality. So we're not going to get a lot of help stopping this invasion when you consider that so much of the bureaucracy is now supporting the invasion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
At the federal level and at the state level.
They want to see this happen. Quite clearly, right. They want to see this happening. The Border Patrol agents know what's going on. They're very upset with it. And as we hear,
absolutely,
Matt, all the time, they're trying to portray this as if this is defending children, when even by their own statistics, they say at a very max, it's 20% that are children. And that would include people up to the age of 18. Many of those coming in, of course, are drug gang members.
And that's, and then that 18 is a matter of self-reporting. They have no ID. They say, my name is Juan Rivera. I'm from Guatemala and I'm 18. The guy could be 24.
Yes.
I mean, how do you know? You got a skinny bantamweight Latino who's, not too beat up, could easily claim to be a teenager. There have been reports of men in their late 20s trying to get into high school. I guess it would, easy way to score the chicks or something. I don't know. Or open up a new drug pipeline.
That's right. And yet we hear people like George Will saying, these are eight-year-old criminals with their teddy bears. Shame on you for wanting to send them back. I mean, that's what they're doing. Another crisis.
George Will needs a little gang of MS-13 living at his house. They'll appreciate him. But the border, anybody should take a look at pictures of the actual border. What people don't understand is the average farmer has a better fence between two cow fields.
Yeah.
There is often no fence.
Yes.
Only when they take politicians to El Paso or San Diego do you see a fence in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a dangerous quarry or swimming pool where children have drowned, and there's only a great fence around 10% of it. And that's where they use a camera backdrop and say, we don't understand why kids continue to drown in the pool.
Absolutely.
But we have an unguarded border. The Border Patrol, because the border is unguarded, have to defend way in depth, 40, 50 miles back, which does several unintended bad consequences. It turns the interior of Texas in the Southwest into a war zone where actual Americans have to go through Border Patrol checkpoints, between McDonald's and work. That pisses off regular Americans, but also it allows the cartels to actually run the border zone.
Yes.
Safe houses, drop sites, all of this is completely open and free, while the children that Obama deliberately lured in like the Pied Piper, the children are actually a sympathetic shield or mask on the front of a Trojan horse.
Yes.
While the mainstream media, the liberal mainstream media, swings the cameras around to George Will's 8-year-old with a teddy bear, right behind the camera are all these tattooed gang members that are saying, gracias, Presidente Obama. I mean, the Border Patrol agent that was killed a couple days ago in his house, not on the job, by two grown career illegal aliens, these guys had been deported each multiple times, came back in, murdered an American Border Patrol, but he could have been any American. But the point is, these children can come across. If children can hoof it across the border, then for goodness sakes, everybody in the world can hoof it across our border, and they are.
Yes, we see increasingly, as we've reported here, They're putting up signs in Chinese in many places.
Right.
And as you're
right.
pointing out, it's not just that it's a beard as far as publicity goes to say that it's all about children. The drug cartels actually do pull children and families across in one area so they can attract the Border Patrol there and then come across in another area with the gang members, with drugs, with weapons, whatever it is that they really want to bring in. We've had our reporters down at the border. Joe Biggs has gone down there with airplanes. A fellow who lives down there flew them around to show that they don't have the fence up except in just a few areas, and it's simply a beard. Now, that was your book in 2006 where you were talking about the border collapse and the rise of La Raza and these other militant Hispanic groups that essentially descend the U.S. into chaos. You followed that up with another series in 2009, another book, part of the same trilogy, Foreign Enemies and Traitors. Tell us a little bit about that scenario.
Well, this book kicks off as a plot device. The New Madrid Fault had already broken loose, so all of the bridges on the Mississippi, the Ohio, all of these main bridges have all collapsed between Memphis and Nashville and Arkansas, all over that region. The federal government's too broke to fix it. It's much too big of a problem. It's Katrina times 100. And, the South goes one way. It's sort of a plot device for dividing the country regionally. The Northeast and the Rust Belt is still heavily socialist and under the control of Washington. But the rest of the country is saying, you know, we don't think we are going to follow the instructions of Washington, D.C. anymore. That's the setup for that. And the in that middle region, the worst affected by the New Madrid earthquake, the federal government discovers that they can't send United States soldiers to shoot other Americans to enforce evacuations of, you know, entire counties and regions. Basically, western Tennessee, between all the rivers, is cut off, and it's starving and out of water. But they don't want help, and they don't want to go to a FEMA camp. They just want to stay and try to go Amish and hang on. They're afraid that once they go on any kind of a government bus, they may never come back. Well, Americans won't fire on them to enforce these evacuation orders. So President Jamal Tambor invites in UN peacekeepers who are actually intact battalions from Nigeria or the Balkans that are willing to basically come over as mercenaries with their expected pay being in American citizenship and land out west after they've defeated the rebellious Tennesseans who will not submit to evacuation.
Well, Matt, we don't have much time left. You're obviously wide awake as somebody who's a Navy SEAL who has anticipated a lot of these scenarios, who's spoken out about the sorts of things that we have seen happen over and over again throughout history, that we see the government trying to pull out again. What are your concerns about the near future? What would you recommend for people to do real quickly in just a couple of minutes that we've got?
Well, I think everybody should try to have a water source. Imagine the power going out and not coming back on. I would recommend folks read my short story that just Google. It's floating around the internet, called the short story called Alas, Brave New Babylon. But I'm afraid that we're living in a dynamite factory and there's about a dozen fuses leading into it. It could be a cyber attack. It could be a solar ejecta from the sun. It could be a war with China, but on a computer level. It could be a computer virus that gets out of control.
It could be a real virus that gets out of control.
Could be a real virus.
Yeah.
But anything that shuts down the banking system will shut down the computer system, will shut down the electrical system. And we're in a very vulnerable situation where if the entire country went Katrina and there was no cavalry coming, things would spin out of control in just a matter of weeks. And folks can go to my website, enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. And on my links page, there are a bunch of my short stuff that are just floating around the internet. Both fiction and nonfiction, but I recommend folks read like Dear Mr. Security Agent, which is sort of an open letter to federal law enforcement. Some of my fiction besides The Last Brave New Babylon, Professor Raoul X, What I Saw at the Coup. These are what I'm seeing as potential scenarios that could be playing out.
Well, I can't wait to read some of your stuff. I'm sorry I've missed it so far. As everybody is saying on the internet, it's the real page turner. It's got hundreds of interviews, and most of them 4- and 5-star interviews. Most of them 5-star reviews, rather, I should say. Thank you for joining us tonight, and thank you for telling us what's really going on. We need to see these fictional sources because a lot of people just won't take the time to connect the dots out of the news.
Right.
Thank you very much. Matt Bracken. Well, as I said at the beginning of the interview, fiction is a great way to wake people up. This is an entertaining read. It's something you can discuss with your friends, and then you can get them to watch Prison Planet TV with a subscription. You can show them what's really happening today in the world as we see these false flags, these efforts to engineer crises, and then use them as opportunities to grow the government and to take our rights. A subscription to Prison Planet TV, if you're not a subscriber, can be shared with up to 11 other people. Simultaneously, you can all watch Alex Jones's documentaries as well as the nightly news every night. Well, that's it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.